The Merciless Ones by Nermina Fauna. In Nermina Fauna's The Merciless Ones, the second installment of the Gilded Ones trilogy, the story begins 6 months after Dekka freed the ancient goddesses of O'Terra and discovered her true nature as the Nuru, the only full-blooded daughter of the divine. While a new era of freedom was promised, the kingdom of O'Terra remains a battlefield. The goddesses have raised the city of Abea from the salt flats of the Ingoyo Mountains, turning the desolate landscape into a lush paradise known as the Bloom. However, the human forces of the former empire, the Jatu and the priests of Oyamahavi, not surrendered. Led by the mysterious and powerful elder Kadiri, they have gathered an army to reclaim the kingdom and extinguish the Alaki once and for all, the rescue of Melanus and the discovery of the Forsworn. The narrative opens with Dekka and her closest companions Britta, Belkalis, Asha, Adwapa, and the Deathshriek Katyaun arrayed in the southern provinces. They are confronted with the brutality of the ongoing war, young girls mounted on stakes as warnings to any woman who dares speak the name of the Gilded Ones. During this mission, an elderly northern woman blames Dekka for the chaos, claiming that the lies of freedom have brought only death to innocent human women. This encounter shakes Dekka, who realizes that her actions have consequences for all O'Terran women, not just the Alaki. The group's primary objective is the Oyamasan, a temple carved into a volcano, where the firstborn war queen Melanus, known as the Light of the Alaki, has been held captive for a millennium. At the temple, Dekka witnesses the horrifying extent of the priest's cruelty. Melanus is chained over a cauldron of magma, her eyes burned out and her body in a constant state of agony and regeneration. Dekka frees Melanus using her own golden blood, which acts as an antidote to the Akor, divine blood, used in the chains. However, the rescue is interrupted by the arrival of true Jatu, descendants of the Gilded Ones who possess superhuman strength and speed but, unlike Alaki, only a single life. These Jatu wear a new arcane symbol on their breastplates, the Kaduth. To Dekka's horror, the Kaduth vibrates with a power that blocks her divine voice, rendering her unable to command them. In the ensuing battle, Melanus displays a terrifying level of power, her gold-tipped white wings returning as she massacres the Jatu with feathery white swords. The most shocking revelation occurs when a fallen Jatu reassembles his severed limbs and resurrects, claiming to be blessed by a Dugu, a warrior aspect of Oyomo, the Lies of the Mothers. Upon returning to Abea, Dekka finds the city thriving under the influence of the Mothers. White Hands, now the firstborn general, continues to guide Dekka, but a rift of mistrust begins to grow. Dekka is troubled by the goddess's dedication ceremonies, where new converts have their memories of their past lives completely erased to ensure their absolute loyalty, a process the mothers call cleansing. Dekka seeks counsel from the goddesses Anok, Etzli, Huili, and Badara regarding the resurrecting Jatu. The mothers reveal that an ancient arcane object called the Angoro, the Golden Throne, has been awakened. They claim the Angor while siphoning their power and enabling the Jatu's miracles. They charge Dekka with finding the Angoro, killing its wielder, and returning it to them so they can regain their full strength and protect O'Terra. Dekka also discovers that her own body is changing. She experiences waking dreams of a white chamber and a bronzed man, which Melanus claims is a divine gift only gods should possess. White Hands encourages Dekka to trust her own mind, noting that the mothers are growing in power and so is she. Yet, Dekka remains haunted by her trauma and the pressure of being the goddess's deliverer, the trap at Shushan. To find the Angoro, Dekka and her friends go undercover, disguised as newlyweds traveling to the city of Shushan. They hope to capture Elder Kadiri, who is reportedly using Shushan as a base. In the city, they find a new, insidious form of propaganda, the Wumi Kaduth, or Lady of the Heart, a female priestess of Oyomo. To Dekka's devastation, the priestess is revealed to be Elfrida, her only friend from her childhood village of Erfurt. Elfrida delivers a speech denouncing the Gilded Ones as demons and monsters who devour children. She identifies Dekka in the crowd, triggering a massive ambush. The Jatu forces are joined by Forsworn massive purple Deathshrieks with gold veins who are clearly male. During the chaos, Elder Kadiri sacrifices a young Alaki girl to a Dugu. Dekka is the only one who can see the girl's blood glow with a celestial light as it is consumed by a dark, oily presence in the air. She realizes that a Dugu is not a myth or an object, but a real, parasitic deity. As the group is cornered, a mysterious door opens, sucking them across the continent to the capital city of Hemera, the reality of Hemera and the death of Father. The group lands in the Grand Temple of Hemera, the holiest site of the priesthood and the seat of Idigu's power. Deckard discovers a new ability. She can sense the doors and even change the direction through her own will. They escape the temple and hide in a river market, where Akalyn shares the trauma he suffered at the hands of the priests during his time as a recruit. Deckard is visited by an illusion of white hands, who reveals that her own memories of Adugu have been erased. This confirms Deckard's suspicion, the mothers are lying. They have always known about Adugu and the male death shrieks but have kept the truth hidden. In Sanusi Square, they witness the horrifying transformation of Hemera, the streets are lined with the corpses of women and the city is patrolled by the Forsworn. Elder Kadiri reveals he has captured Deckard's human father. In a desperate attempt to rescue him, Deckard and Britta are cornered in an alleyway. Deckard's father dies in her arms, but not before he apologizes for his cruelty and reveals that Deckard's birth mother, Umu, is still alive and waiting for her in the mythical land of Garnasim. Following father's death, Elder Kadiri and Elfrida mock Deckard, revealing that they have been executing Aliki girls across Oterra on Elfrida's recommendation. In a fit of cold, divine rage, Deckard massacres the Jatu guards. But she is unable to stop the corpses from resurrecting due to the power of the Kaduth. They are saved by the timely arrival of Karmoko Thandiwe and Lady Commander, who evacuate them by boat. Thandiwe executes Kadiri and Elfrida, but the merciless one, Adugu, laughs at Deckard from the shadows, the truth in the blood. The group finds refuge at the Commander estate. In Lake Ayema, there, Deckard experiences a series of revelations that dismantle everything she believed. She discovers that the Ansatha necklace gifted to her by the mothers was actually a collar, designed to suppress her true power and keep her subservient. When she removes it, her abilities and those of her friends begin to grow exponentially. Deckard uses the Akor in the necklace and the Idigu's blood she collected to peer into the memories of the gods. She learns the true history of the Divine Wars. The Gilded Ones and the Adugu were once a single collective being that split into male and female pairs, similar to the Indolo. The mothers, fearful of the brothers' aggression, imprisoned the Adugu behind the veil and starved them of worship. In response, the Adugu created the persona of Oyomo and the Infinite Wisdom Stone feed on the suffering and obedience of humanity. Deckard realizes that the goddesses are just as monstrous as their brothers. They have been secretly eating male death shrieks in the chamber of the goddesses to sustain their power. Most importantly, she discovers her own origin. She is not the daughter of the Gilded Ones, but an intermediary sent by the Singulith Fifth, neutral god who remained unified to destroy the warring deities before their madness consumes the world, the fall of the Warthu Bearer and the rebirth of Kaeta. The group decides to free the Blood Sisters still imprisoned at the Warthu Bearer. They infiltrate the training ground via secret caverns, rescuing Karmoko Huon, Gazel, and scores of Aliki who were being bled for the gold to power the Jatu's forges. During this mission, they encounter Sayuri, Rattle, who is revealed to be the third firstborn War Queen. Sayuri leads the Warthu Bearer Deathshrieks in a rebellion against the Forsworn. The escape from the Warthu Bearer is achieved through the combined divine gifts of the group. Britta creates massive stone shields, Belkalasamas herself in gold, and Ixa transforms into a colossal sea dracos capable of flight. They travel to the Grand Temple to confront Adugu, where Elder Kadiri, resurrected again, slits Kaeta's throat as a sacrifice to the male gods. Deckard's grief and power call Kaeta back from the afterlands. Kaeta resurrects as a true Jatu, with the power of fire, burning the Forsworn and Jatu in the chamber to ash. Deckard decisively kills Elder Kadiri by decapitation, ensuring he cannot return, the final battle at Abia. Deckard returns to Abia, no longer as a loyal daughter but as a god-killer. She enters the chamber of the goddesses and finds the mothers in the midst of a gruesome harvest, feeding on thousands of male deathshrieks trapped in an abyss beneath their thrones. Etsli attempts to recollar Deckard, but Ixa rips the Ansatha necklace from Deckard's body. A final, apocalyptic battle erupts. Melanus, choosing the mothers over her sisters, attacks Deckard, but Deckard severs her wings. White Hands, realizing the truth of her brother's suffering, turns against Etsli. In a surprising turn, Anok, the wisest of the goddesses, acknowledges the madness that has consumed her sisters and helps Deckard escape, urging her to find the rest of her power and end the cycle. Deckard awakens the true divine gifts of her friends and White Hands, whose power is to turn everything to ash. Together, they destroy the Temple of the Gilded Ones, bringing it crashing down to prevent the goddesses from using it to feed ever again. Melanus is lost in the collapse, and the survivors flee the mountain. Conclusion: The Rise of the Angoro. The novel concludes with Deckard and her friends traveling toward Garnasim to find her mother and the final answers to her divinity. Decca's body is beginning to break down under the strain of the power she has wielded, and White Hands informs her that the only way to survive is to fully embrace her role as a god. Decca accepts her new identity. She is no longer the Nuru, the pawn of the goddesses. She takes the name the Adugu gave her, the Angoro, slayer of the gods. With her friends now powerful, immortalish beings themselves at her side, Decca prepares for the final war to liberate Oterra from the tyranny of all deities, both male and female. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.